Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Cross Training.
We get to read this great scripture today. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 24. Let us listen to God's word. It says, You do not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be found disqualified. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. And Paul's going to continue that same kind of teaching in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Again, let's listen to God's word to us. He writes, "If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales, but train yourselves in godliness. For while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life yet to come. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and struggle, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. And let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks for the privilege of worship and pray now that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight. For it is through Christ our Lord we pray it. Amen. So have you recuperated from the Olympics yet? It's wearisome just to watch, much less to compete. They are truly a magnificent spectacle, aren't they? Not only of sport, but of the human dedication and achievement which is necessary to achieve these high ranks, and it's really nothing short of awe-inspiring. I think ABC's Wide World of Sports captured it exactly when it speaks of the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. We saw all of that being played out before our very eyes over these past several weeks. Are you aware that the Greek word for the games, these contests, was agon, A-G-O-N, as in agony? I mean, these aren't just fun and games. I mean, this isn't just play. This speaks of struggle and strife and testing, which is required in order to finally win the prize. And so for these very reasons, it's very easy for the Apostle Paul to use the Olympics and the ancient games as an illustration of the Christian life, which is what he does certainly in these two lessons which we've just read, and really throughout many of his letters. Certainly there's no record of Paul ever having attended the games, but it's not beyond the realm of possibility. In fact, it is very likely, and most assuredly, that Paul would have known about the games, as would those who heard his message. So when Paul is referencing an athletic competition, he is using a modern-day current sermon illustration, just as I am this morning. We're well aware that the modern Olympic Games were instituted or reinstituted in Athens in 1896, but the ancient Games date back to 773 BC, before Christ, and lasted until 393 AD, after Christ, and the only reason they ended at that point was the Christian emperor, Theodosius I, banned them for being too pagan. That means the games were active during the life and ministry of Paul and of Jesus. And they were central to the life and the ethos of the Greco-Roman world. Perhaps you're aware, there were four ancient pan-Hellenic games, all Greek games, not just the Olympics. And they were held in different cities in consecutive years. And so together, Those four-year periods of time are the way the ancient Greeks kept track of time. Those four-year periods were called Olympiads. So, for instance, we know the Battle of Marathon took place in the 52nd Olympiad. Year one, then, the Olympics in Olympia to the god Zeus, the prize being an olive branch. Year two, the Nemean Games were held in Corinth and dedicated to Zeus and to Hercules, the prize, a piece of wild cherry. Year three, the Pythian Games. They were held up in Delphi. For instance, you remember the Oracle of Delphi, that same community, to the god Apollo. And the prize there was the laurel wreath. Year four, the Isthmian Games held in Isthmia near Corinth, right on the isthmus connecting the mainland to the Peloponnese. The winner there received a pine bough, as those games were dedicated to Poseidon. And then the four-year cycle would begin again. So the games were more than just athletic competitions. They were a shaper of culture in the Greek, Greco-Roman world. In fact, announcements of the games would go out a year before they began so that the athletes could prepare. And then athletes and trainers and their coaches would travel great distances, not just to compete, but to learn different cultures, different languages, different experiences. They studied not only their sport, but music and art and literature and history. This is the way a new generation would learn Greek history. And wars would cease during the time of the games and then would recommence again when the games ended. We got something of a glimpse of that in Rio, didn't we? As athletes walked in together, as they talked and embraced, as well as competed with one another. We saw something of the Olympic spirit in a poignant way when two runners in the 5,000-meter race went down, one from the U.S., one from New Zealand, and then stopped to help one another up. And I can't help but think that for a moment, wars ceased and peace was as it should be. So we can see why Paul, it was low-hanging fruit for him to draw on the games to describe the Christian life. Both speak of decision and commitment. One doesn't wake up one morning and say, hey, I think I'm going to be an Olympic shot putter this afternoon. No, it's a decision that is made in a moment in time that then becomes a yes or no decision throughout every day of the rest of their lives, training so that they can compete in that way, just as the same is true when we say yes to following Jesus. It's a one-time yes and no decision that then becomes an everyday yes or no decision that we live out. Today, I am going to be Christ's man. Today, I am going to be Christ's woman. Today, I am going to follow in the way of Jesus as his disciple. It's no coincidence that followers of Jesus are called disciples from the word discipline. We live a life of discipline, following in the way of our master. Oh, the analogies go on. I'll toss out a few. You can think of many others. Making the decision to follow Christ is a commitment to change. In athletics, we'd call that training. In the Christian life, we would call that conversion. Another Greek word, metanoia. Athletes require a singleness of focus and purpose, as does following Jesus, to the abandonment of all others. Just as athletes need trainers and coaches, so we need teachers and mentors to guide us and instruct us in the faith. Just as they have a set of skills and rules to learn and live by, so we have spiritual disciplines that we too need to learn and live by in order to follow Christ faithfully. Just as they need benefactors to support and underwrite their training and their travel, so we need benefactors to continue to sustain the ministries we do. In every event, there may be one or two or a handful of athletes on the field, but thousands in the stands cheering them on. And the writer of the book of Hebrews will image that when he says, and we too are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses encouraging us in the race. Carry on in following Jesus. The analogies are nearly endless. In his letters, Paul speaks a number of these, but in 1 Timothy, he cites specifically this teaching. He says, train yourself in godliness, for while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. As important as physical training is, and of course we know that it is, he is saying there is something more important still, and that is training in godliness, training in righteousness, in right living with God and with one another. And it's appropriate that we talk about this today on this as we recognize Tab Rec Sunday, because it is essential that we as members and friends of Tab understand that this is what this wonderful program is all about. The Tab Rec program, we know, was founded in 1924, so 92 years ago, as a ministry of Tab. In many ways, it's a premier, flagship program, one of the best not only in this city, but perhaps in the country, and has been a model for other church or Christian-based recreation programs. In fact, this week, someone mentioned to me that Tab Rec is an important part of the Tab brand, and I completely believe that. Everywhere I go, it seems, I'll run into somebody who says, Tab, I played ball at Tab. My daddy played ball at Tab. My granddaddy played ball at Tab. It is part of who we are, and that's remarkable to me. And so for that reason, we need to understand this clearly. Tab Recreation is not a sports program with a Christian influence. It is a Christian ministry which uses sports and recreation as our hook. Every year, Ben gives me an opportunity to speak to coaches at the beginning of seasons. He invites me to speak to this wonderful group of men and women who will coach and train our kids. And in doing so, I remind them of what we are asking of them, of what is of most importance to us. And it is not blocking and tackling and shooting. We are asking them to come alongside us as they come alongside our kids to help instill in them a faith and character commitment that is lifelong. Drawing on Paul's teaching, while physical training, blocking, tackling, shooting is of some importance, of greater importance still is the influence that they will have over faith and character development of these children to follow Christ, to grow up to be mature, responsible adults and contributing citizens. The development of faith and character is the end goal of Tab Rec. Sports and recreation activities, simply a means to that end. Now, sometimes I believe we've forgotten that, or we've gotten those priorities out of order. So you need to know that we are recommitting ourselves as a session and as a staff, and we believe as a congregation, and here we need your help. Last Saturday, the session spent the day talking about ways we can implement our new vision statement. Remember, there are three focal points to it: greater faith, deeper relationships, a stronger community. We're going to use that rubric to identify and focus all of our ministry areas. But last Saturday, we started with Tab Rec and with opportunities to grow deeper relationships. Now, we'll come to that second one at another time. As a session and a staff, we are committed to re-engaging Tab's resources and Tab's members to the faith and character building component of our Tab Rec program, and we need your help in order to do that. Now, you don't need to know anything about blocking and tackling and shooting. We got people who can do that. What we do need are folks who will come alongside our young people to support them and encourage them and cheerlead them and plant in them the kinds of character traits and faith traits that we hope will continue to grow up in them. We need you to help us be part of the great cloud of witnesses to surround the children of Tabrak. Friends, I know that there is a generation of young people in this community that we are deeply concerned about, that we care deeply for. I know that we want to help improve their lives and their lot in life by encouraging them to stay in school and stay off drugs and not get pregnant and develop life skills that are employable. And I know that we want to do our part in addressing all of the ills and all of the demons that attack our young people today, whether it's street violence or childhood obesity. I know that about us. And the beauty of the TabRec program is those kids are coming to us. We don't need to go find them. There are 1,900 kids that walk through these doors or out onto that field every year. They are already well within our reach. And all we need to do is reach out and touch them with our love, our caring, and with the love and caring of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite quotes coming out of TabRec through the years, in fact, we heard it in the video this morning. Mitch Daniels was at one point a starting guard on a TabRec basketball team. And he said, "I learned the love of the Lord and the pick and roll on the same hardwood floor," right in there. Friends, that is our desire for every child that comes to TabRec, that they learn the love of the Lord and some athletic skill to help shape and inform who they are as young people, as young adults, into maturity. I'm going to ask you to pray about this, about what role you might play in all of this. Today, when you go into the gym to meet Nancy and her family and congratulate her on the Dawson Award, you will see a table. Kate and Kyle Ems will be there. And we're inviting you simply to sign up. If you are interested in any way in knowing any more about what you can do to be a part of being a cheerleader for the TabRec program, and we'll tell you up front, we don't know quite all what we're asking of you yet. We're kind of building this airplane as we fly it. But we are committed to it because we know its importance. One last thought before we leave this Olympic and athletic theme. We all know, and we likely will all remember, the names like Michael Phelps and Katie Ledecky and Simone Biles and Usain Bolt. And well, we should. Incredible performances in their respective fields. But with that, we can't forget the thousands of others who are also called Olympians, because they too have dedicated themselves in their particular fields, or the tens or hundreds of thousands of young athletes who participate at every level, experiencing both the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. There was a clear understanding in the times of the Olympic Games, the ancient Olympian Games, that participation counts. To participate is to have achieved. And that is true in sports, and it is true in faith. Paul writes here of there only being one winner in a race, and we know that every athlete standing at the line desires to run or to swim or to compete, to beat out the others and win that gold prize or that laurel wreath. But the life of faith is not a competition. I am not in competition with any of you or you another, but we all must run to win the prize. And the prize is faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. He is the goal. At one point in history, the Persians stopped coming to the games. They didn't think it was worth the time or the energy or the expense just to go and try and win an olive wreath. And I think they were on to something there. So if you are chasing anything less than a right relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ, be that riches or success or status or security, anything less than Christ himself, you are chasing after a perishable wreath. He alone is the imperishable prize. So do not run in vain. Do not box the air in vain. But let us be convinced together that while physical training is of some value, training in godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise both for the present life and for the life yet to come. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks this day for the privilege that you have given to us. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name. We thank you for the opportunity to lift our voices in praise and prayer. We thank you for the opportunity to be sent from this place, to live as your people in the world, in this community, in this city, this metropolitan area. We thank you that when we leave here, we go carrying the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray that we will simply be found faithful in doing so. As we come, we bring certain concerns with us, and so we ask that you will listen to the desires of our hearts. Those family members or friends that we hold up with a particular concern, perhaps an illness, perhaps a brokenness in a relationship. We pray, O Lord, that you will do your work of healing. We give you thanks this day for all of our neighbors and for the opportunities we have to come alongside, to love and to serve. And today particularly, for these countless numbers of young people whose lives we have the opportunity to touch in a particular way through this program. Lord, use us to your great purposes. And we will continue to give you all honor and praise. We do it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.